Playroom of people here. You know, this is great. So, so if you want to say your name, whatever you want to say, like I said, there may be some people watching online as well, but whatever you would you like to start with, just first name.
Sure. All right, my name is Helene, and I am here. Actually, I took this presentation last year, but it was a fall that precipitated the death of my husband. Mm-hmm. And when I watched him die, after watching him die, I decided I should educate myself on every area of health so that I would arm myself with the strength of myself. And I did that. I've been coming here now for almost 3 years. It will be 3 years next month, actually in April. And so I'm much stronger, and I also have made changes in my home as a result of what I learned, and my awareness has increased tenfold of opportunities for fall. And then they do offer, she'll get into it, a program called Hygiene One that's available to seniors, and that helps a lot. She'll probably be telling you about that.
We are going to talk about that, and we're going to do a little bit of it so you guys can see a little bit about what it feels like. So, Great. Okay.
I'm Cheryl Huff from West Lebanon, New Hampshire, and I just thought this was interesting because I'm 67. Thought, learn what I can now.
Yes.
We've all had our scares, and I have identical girl twin granddaughters that help me keep busy.
That's great.
On the go.
Oh, yeah.
Swimming and playing and, yeah, fun.
Super. That'll keep moving. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
My name is Mike Warren. I live in Grafton, New Hampshire, in a very remote area. I walk probably 4 to 5 miles every day, and have found recently that I was stumbling over things that I should not have been stumbling over. I began to find that I was careless in the house about taking care of things that I knew were inappropriate, and I need this kind of effort and the people around me to help me begin to make some changes, because I do not want to leave my remote area, and I want to do whatever I can to stay there as long as possible.
Great. Yeah. Okay. Super. Great.
My name is John. I'm from Vermont, presently, originally from other places, and I'm retired. My health is at risk at times. And I love to walk.
Okay.
And I walk as much as I can, and even when I'm not doing too well, I still push myself. I was up to 15 miles a week for quite some time. That's drastically reduced now, but I think it's coming back.
Okay.
About a month ago, I took a very bad fall, right in the middle of our street. I just laid there, and I'm not sure what happened. I was wearing clogs, which I never wear to walk, but circumstances were such that I could take a little walk, and I always had my clogs on.
Mm-hmm.
They were partially responsible.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'd like to keep walking. I consider that to be a factor that has given me a degree of health for a lot of years.
Yeah.
But it goes way back. I used to jog, I used to race.
Mm-hmm.
So this is all coming down now.
Okay.
That's why I'm here. I'd like to learn and see if I can prevent this.
Prevent a fall, great. Super. Okay.
Hello, my name is Robert Plant there. I'm affiliated with Dr. Hitchcock, to my doctors, Dr. Kroll there over at General Internal Medicine there. And then I had problems with dizzy spells, and I got bad osteoarthritis, but I tried my best to keep going, but it died on me now because I lost my wife back before Christmas there, 5 days before Christmas there. But my doctor said this program will be helpful to me, and I agree with her there, you know.
Okay.
You know, because I do a lot of walking over the hospital too there, because I have my my walkathon that's coming up there at Storrs Pond for cystic fibrosis there, and I want to get a lot of walking in, you know, over the next month and stuff, you know, to get my strength. And I have problems with dizzy spells a lot too. That so I got to learn. That's why I'm here, is to learn things, you know.
Great. Well, welcome. Okay.
I'm Ann Garrigue, and I live in Norwich, and you're over New Hampshire. All your connections are New Hampshire.
So we, right, so the, you know, with the New Hampshire Task Force and Dartmouth, but we also work along the border, Vermont border and Massachusetts border. So we, we collaborate on other levels with the Vermont Coalition as well, but we definitely have programs accessible for Norwich, and we do work with them.
Well, I've never had a problem, but it's interesting how much New Hampshire seems to be doing on this subject.
Yeah, and Vermont is really starting up their Falls Coalition again. They had a Vermont Falls, State Falls Coalition, and that wasn't active for a little while, but we've been in contact recently with the person who's starting with Vermont again, so they're starting to be more active with this as well.
Is that the person with SASH?
So SASH is a group that's active. The Vermont Falls Coalition is out of the Public Health Department. Stephen DeVoe is his name. But Stephen DeVoe, D-E-V-O-E, he's the person who's the leader of the Falls Coalition now.
I get very confused with all the names of these groups.
Yeah.
And some of them are active, some aren't.
Yeah,
they're all underfunded, so they can't do as much as they say. Anyway, I'm here because I fell twice. I broke my hip once on stairs, and I actually fell outside here. I tripped on the stones.
Oh dear!
And hit my head.
Oh dear!
And they well, no, it was
not today.
I was lucky.
Not today.
No.
Okay.
They were wonderful here. I mean, they were afraid I had a concussion, and they made me go to the emergency.
Yeah.
I was impressed with the way I was treated. No, I didn't have a concussion, but how quickly a fall can change your life.
Yes. Okay. Well, welcome, everybody. And you guys have really all illustrated with your different stories a lot of differences around the risk for falls and where we want to start preparing ourselves, and if we've had a fall or not a fall, but want to make sure we, you know, can prevent it. So as you see, as I start to talk, it's all going to make a lot of sense personally as well, I think. As I said, please let me know anytime if you have questions. So this is so we'll have these slides on the computer or the screen, and these are also on your handouts that look like this. I think everybody has one of these. You must have a pen. And so you can write, you know, comments or anything you want to as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome. More pens.
Did you do this last year at this particular course? Did I hear?
Probably. You may have been.
Oh, probably.
Oh, well, I mean, we definitely did do this, so it may be something you have the information about. We usually do this in the spring and the fall, so quite possibly. A lot of this will be familiar. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about some statistics related to falls, just a brief screen, just so you know, sort of the basics. That we're going to talk about how the balance system works, because I think it's really important to understand how our balance system works in order to kind of figure out what one needs to do to reduce the risk of having a fall. We'll talk about ways to reduce your falls risk and improve balance, and then, like I say, we'll talk specifically about the evidence-based programs that are, I've seen pens as I'm seeing them, that are out there in the state and how you could participate in those potentially and help it have it be beneficial. So just like I said, you guys have all illustrated very, with your personal stories, the problems related to falls. And so just to bring this statistically, we know that 30% of people
65 and older will fall each year. And about half of those people who fall will have a second fall. So once you've fallen, you have a high risk of falling again. We know when people are 80 and older, that increases your risk to fall to 50%. Okay. We know that 20% of falls lead to serious injuries. So one in five falls leads to either a fracture or a traumatic brain injury. Like you said, they wanted to make sure you didn't have a concussion. Right, so fractures or concussions. I don't have the statistic up here, but it is the leading cause of injury-related deaths for people 65 and older. As I'm sorry, you know, with your husband, but that is true. That's another risk, right? In New Hampshire alone, there were over 3,000 people discharged from emergency room visits last year due to a fall, specifically due to a fall. And over 3,300 hospitalizations due to a fall. Of course, most of those are with fractures. And we also know that nationally, 700,000 people are hospitalized each year because of a fall. So we know it's a very big health issue, which is why we really do programs like this and others to do something about it to keep people healthy.
Whether it's head or hip, I've had both.
Yeah, exactly. Hip fractures are the most common fractures, although people also often get a lot of arm fractures as well, and then head injuries, right. And for the purpose of research and statistics, older adult is considered 65 and older. You know, of course, 65 is young, but that's, you know, when we say old, right? That's sort of why it's always the number 65. But as you're going to see later, we can do something about all this. That's the good part. But so components of balance. So our balance system is complex and simple all at the same time. So it's basically an input-output system. Input are your senses. And the main senses for balance are your inner ear, and sensory information coming from your feet. Okay? It's called on the slide there, somatosensory, means from your feet or from your body, but for your balance when you're standing, it's from your feet. Okay? And then your brain takes in all that information from your senses and processes the information and then tells your body, so then the output system are your muscles. Right, your muscles and your joints. So if anything happens in any of those areas, it can affect your balance, right? So let's just think about it for a second. So as we get older, not necessarily, so this can happen to younger people too, but if we think about as we age, if we think about sensation in your feet, does anybody know what can happen commonly?
In your feet?
In your feet.
They get numb.
They get numb, yeah. So it's called peripheral neuropathy. So you can lose some sensation in your feet. Peripheral neuropathy just means the nerves, you know, neuropathy in the periphery in your feet aren't working as well as they should be. It's very common with diabetes, but people can get a neuropathy without diabetes as well. So once you're not feeling the surface as normally as you should be, it makes it harder to balance, right? Because your feet on the floor give you a lot of information as to what your surface is like. Mm-hmm. So sometimes uneven ground, you know, we mentioned outside, not that that was your problem, but some, you know, uneven ground can become more difficult. Or when you don't have your eyes helping you out, like nighttime, when you need to depend more on the sensory information from your feet, that can be a problem. How about inner ear? Has anyone ever been busy? I bet most people have. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned your have dizziness.
Yeah.
Very, very common. And we'll talk specifically about that later, but sometimes it's the inner ear, sometimes it's other things, but inner ear problems, because that's your equilibrium system, right, in your head. Eyes, what can happen with your eyes commonly? Does anybody know things that can happen with our eyes as we get older?
Blurry.
Cataracts. Blurry cataracts. Glaucoma. Mm-hmm. Macular degeneration. Mm-hmm. Just losing visual acuity. Mm-hmm. A lot can happen with our vision. So when we're not seeing as well, that can have an impact on our balance, right? How about the brain? Things that can happen to the brain, but not to everybody. What can happen that might make processing difficult?
The brain slows down anyway.
Yeah, just a little slowing. Just even if nothing bad happens, it's just a little slowing, right?
Short-term memory.
Short-term memory, right? So if you start to get some cognitive decline, memory issues, yes, that can have an effect on our balance. You know, and sometimes it can progress to dementia or Alzheimer's, you know, if it gets really severe, but the little bit of cognitive decline can affect balance. And then there's things, people can get concussions, brain injuries, people can get Parkinson's disease, people can get a stroke. So there are things that happen to some people that make that the brain part more difficult. And then how about in the legs? What about our joints? What's very common?
Arthritis.
Arthritis, right? Super common, right? So we get some stiffness in the joints. They're not moving as well as they should be to react to those balance challenges. Muscles. Muscles can get weak. So let me tell you this. When we turn 35-ish, around 35, all humans start to lose muscle fibers. Can't do anything about it. We start to lose them. That's why elite athletes are only elite athletes at most until they're 35 or so, right? After that, they lose that little bit of edge that makes them, you know, not the hundredth of a second makes a difference in a race, right? Most of us don't notice it when we're 35 because most of us aren't, you know, our muscles don't need to respond at that high level. But each decade, we lose more and more and more and more. The problem is then by the time we're 60, 70, 80, if we are not doing something to strengthen those fibers that remain, we're going to get weaker. The good news is we can always strengthen the fibers that remain. So we can always get stronger. We can always make our muscles stronger, whether we're 80, 90, 100, whatever we are. But it's critically important as we age to do strengthening so that we don't lose strength. A 20-year-old can get away with it because they're not losing muscle fibers. Mm-hmm. 70-year-old cannot.
We lose after 35. Mm-hmm. It's a fact of life.
It's a fact of life. But it's also a fact of life. We can strengthen and make the muscle fibers that are there bigger and stronger. Right? So that's why it's so important as we get older to do strengthening exercises so that we keep our function. Critically important. We'll talk about some ways we can do that.
I just wanted to tell you a little story about that because that's what fascinated me. I have a son who's 54,
uh-huh.
and he's a swimmer,
mm-hmm.
a master swimmer. Mm. And he fishes all that. He told me last weekend that he swam with younger kids. And I said, why did you do that? That's quite a risk. And he said, that's exactly why they wanted me to do it. And he did fare quite well.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Because as you say, he's been using those muscles.
Mm. He's been using those muscles, yeah. It makes it just makes all the difference in the world.
So I'm going to tell him about this.
There you go. So he's doing those, doing exactly what he should be doing, yeah. okay, so any questions about that, the balance system? Make sense? Okay, so in research, starting in the 80s, really, there was a lot of research on balance and falls. And one researcher in particular, Mary Tinetti is her name, out of Yale New Haven, came up with a set of risk factors that were connected to falls. And the more risk factors for falls that somebody has, the higher their risk for having a fall. So this list shows the intrinsic risk factors on the left. That means things within you. Right? On the right are the extrinsic risk factors, things outside of us. Everything that's yellow highlighted is something we can likely do something about. Okay? Or something we might need to address.
This is so long.
All in the papers. Yep. Yep. Right, 65 and older. We can't do anything about that. We're going to be 65 and older, right? That's going to happen. Previous fall, we can't do something about a previous fall, it's happened, mm-hmm. right? Muscle weakness, and we're going to talk more in depth, but we can do something about that. Dizziness, most of the time we can fix dizziness, we'll talk about that. Poor vision, you just have to address it. If somebody's got a chronic medical condition, we won't be able to change that. If you have diabetes, we can't make it go away. But managing that medically is very important, so we help, you know, keep it as in best control as you can. Fear of falling. Once somebody has had a fall, almost 100% of people have a fear of falling after that. It's just, that's another fact. And it makes sense, right? And even people who have never had a fall, people 65 and older who have never had a fall, studies range from either 30% to high 70s% of people have a fear of falling. And the important thing about that is making sure that we're addressing that fear. So it's good to have a healthy, you know, be aware. Like you said, you're a lot more aware. What we want to make sure doesn't happen is people become so fearful, they start to restrict their activities, restrict their movement, get weaker, you know, pull away from engagement in life, right? So that's something to address. Gait or walking and balance problems to address. We'll go through these more. Environmental hazards, either, you know, uneven sidewalks, this is the, you mentioned coming in from outside, right? The tripping on the stones in the house, tripping on wires, you know, things like that. If you take four or more medications, it puts you at a higher fall risk. Now, I always tell people, do not stop taking any of your medications just because I tell you that, okay? You still need to be taking whatever medications you're prescribed. But it's always good to make sure that you talk with your provider if you have questions about medications or if you think something's making you dizzy or, you know, just to review it every once in a while because sometimes things need to change over time. Alcohol use, we don't process alcohol the same way as when we're young as when we're older. So a drink or two when you're 30 reacts very differently in your body than a drink or two when you're 80. So it's just something to be aware of, that it can really affect your balance a lot more as you age, right? So that can be, not that you, you know, can't have a drink as long as medically you're able to.
Yeah. Well, they mentioned alcohol and how much you should have or not have.
Yeah. How much should you have? Is that what you're
Well, I mean, that's discussed now and again.
Yeah, whether you
have wine or you don't have wine and how much you have, whether you're a man or a woman.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
What about that?
So that's really the best thing to do with that is really on an individual basis, talk with your primary care provider about it, because it really depends on what medications you're on, what other health issues you have. So there's a lot of variables that go into it. But here it's just good to be aware that it can definitely affect you differently from a balance perspective.
And sometimes they say it's good for you to have a little.
Exactly, right. Sometimes you hear, right. It's, yeah. But I would definitely, that's something to talk with your provider about. And shoes. Who mentioned the clogs, John? You mentioned the clogs, right? So, you know, having properly fitting shoes, make sure you've got slippery shoes. So having, you know, whatever loose flip-floppy shoes can be a risk for a fall.
Sometimes you cannot find shoes if you have narrow feet. It's extremely difficult for me.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Right.
Yeah.
It is hard to have them fit, right? So you may have to have like insert, you know, to try to snug it up, or
because
order them. Maybe it's a pain, but maybe order them narrow. Order narrow shoes.
And it's extremely expensive.
Yeah, you're right. But you know, especially if you have like walking shoes, like maybe the investment in one, you know, in something that if you're going to be walking a lot with is worth it, so that your feet aren't slopping around in shoes and.
But it's the thing, it's a business, Rosie, if you pay it.
What's that? Getting shoes.
Buying shoes.
Buying shoes, yeah.
No,
nothing, it's not easy. No. It's not easy. I'm just saying it like, oh, just do this, this, this. You're right. It is not easy. It's a process. It's work.
Rosie, but not easy.
No, I agree.
I went to the farm store this week. For the first time in years.
Farmway?
No, I've got to tell you, they have got so many footwear
items. Yes.
Their selection is
Farmway.
Huge.
Farmway.
But they don't have everything.
They don't have
no.
But they've really expanded.
They try. They're very nice, and it's the best place to go.
Yeah.
But they don't have everything.
Yeah. And if you want sneakers, I'm not getting money from anybody, but I know, like, so I'm not promoting anybody specifically, but also locally, Stateline Sports with sneakers, they're really good if you're looking for those as far as ordering and helping you out.
Kmart, I got mine at Kmart.
Yeah.
And those they have a lot of nice ones at Kmart, too.
Yeah.
And it's pretty reasonable there.
Yeah.
Shoes is
I believe in L.L. Bean because they will take anything back.
Yes.
You know, I'm used to growing up with if you're going to buy something, you took it home, you might try it on the carpeting in your house.
Yeah.
Dean saying, go put them on, wear them, go out with them.
It's true.
Especially buying something like hiking boots.
Right.
You know, it's hard to find the right one.
Yeah.
I take them back and, you know, I feel apologetic, but they're perfectly fine with them.
Yep. Nope, that's a good point.
And here's this is a Keen shoe.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
It's got all the attributes for a good walking shoe.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, Keen is a good brand, yeah.
And what I did when I got these, and I knew how much I liked them, and they worked,
mm-hmm.
I bought a second pair right away.
Yeah.
Because typically you go back to buy it in a year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have that model.
Good point. Yeah. When you find something that works for you, to
buy a second pair.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah, that's a
good
point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so with all those risk factors that we just talked about, right, what we know through research is the more of those risk factors that you have that we can work on, the more that's going to lower your risk for having a fall. Makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. So it's really important. So we know we can reduce our fall risk. We also know if you had to pick one of those things to act on, again, research tells us this, the most important thing you can do is exercise. So that's a good thing, because that's something we can all have control over, right? Mm-hmm. No matter what the rest of life gives us. So, and the important types of exercise are strengthening and balance exercise. So a few of you mentioned walking, which is a hugely important exercise for general health. And then if you can add strengthening and balance exercises in, then that's that strong balance component that we need to add into your exercise routine. Okay? So, dizziness, I mentioned the inner ear, so a few things that can happen. One thing is up here is called, the initials are BPPV. It's not all that important. I'll tell you the name is benign paroxysmal positional vertigo. Not that important. It's a big, big long name.
Is that on the test?
Yeah, that's right.
What were the two words in the middle? You said too fast. Benign something and vertigo.
Paroxysmal positional vertigo. What it means is...
It's very, very easy to cure.
It's very easy to cure, which is why I bring it up. So what it is on this picture, I don't know if I'm going to ruin our viewing audience here, but let me just show you. This part of your ear has these crystals in there that are supposed to be there. They sit on nerve fibers that when you move your head, they move the nerve fibers and they tell your brain where your head's moved. Sometimes they become loose and float into this part of your ear called the semicircular canal. And they're not supposed to be there. There's only fluid in this part of your ear. Mm-hmm. So what will happen if the crystals are there and you tilt your head, like you look up or you lie down or you roll over, those crystals move within your ear, within this canal, and they deflect the nerve fibers. There's a little bundle of nerve fibers here. They deflect those nerve fibers quickly, and that causes anastomosis when your eyes go bum, 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 bum. Has anyone ever seen that? Has anyone ever seen somebody spin around and you look at their eyes, they're going bum, 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 bum. Okay? But don't do that just to experiment. I don't want anyone to spin around and fall over. But that's what nystagmus is. And that causes a sense of spinning vertigo. Yeah. So if anyone's ever had to like lie down and the room spins quickly, mm-hmm. and then it stops, that's probably what it's from. Sometimes as we get older, you can have this and you don't necessarily have spinning vertigo, but just you're dizzy when you change positions, like bending over and up, rolling over and up. So if you're having those kind of symptoms, what's important is that you talk to your primary care provider, because just as falling is not a normal part of aging, right, even though there's a higher risk, it's not normal. We want to make sure we address it if somebody's falling. Dizziness is not a normal part of aging. Some people think, oh, I'll be dizzy because I'm getting older. But we always want to figure out what the dizziness is, because most times it can be treated. So that could be one problem, and it's very easily treated. There's other inner ear problems that can be treated as well. There's therapies for inner ear problems. Sometimes people get dizziness for a medical condition or medication. So if you're dizzy all the time, you want to talk to your primary care provider. Make sure it's not related to a condition. diabetes, blood pressure, heart condition, right? Or medication that you're taking, because some medications cause dizziness. So you definitely want to ask your primary care provider about any dizziness. Let me just show you the next slide. On the left just shows you, I just wanted to demonstrate that when you said it's very easy to cure, it's just a matter of taking your head through different positional changes with your body, taking you through different positional changes to move those crystals out of the ear, or out of the canal into the utricle of your inner ear. And like I say, and if it's not that in the inner ear, there are other exercises, you know, a lot of different exercises that can be done to help if it's not that quick fix for dizziness. Another very common reason for dizziness is postural hypotension. Those are the things listed on the right of this. So what that means is, if you've ever had this experience, if you're sitting for a while or lying down for a while and you stand up quickly and you're a little lightheaded, like, woof, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes people working in the garden for a while and then you stand up and then you're like, ugh. What that is usually postural hypotension. It just means that your blood pressure to your brain, the circulation to your brain, isn't happening fast enough to prevent you from getting dizzy. It's just a little bit of slowing on return to your brain, so you get that brief little, and that can happen because you get a little more pooling of blood in your legs. Because as we get older, we lose elasticity in our blood vessels. We lose elasticity everywhere, but we lose elasticity in our blood vessels too, right? And so that normal pumping mechanism is affected. So one way that you can help prevent that is, if you've been sitting for a while or lying down for a while before you stand, just pump your ankles up and down. Just do this, right? Get those muscles working in your lower legs. Start to get them contracting around the blood vessels. Start to get things circulating before you go to stand. Another way is to drink plenty of water during a day. You know, 6 to 8 glasses of water during the day, unless you've been told not to by your primary care provider, drink that much water, but staying hydrated helps prevent that as well. Also, if you do tend to get dizzy when you first stand, just make sure you stand for a second or two, right? So when that tends to happen, if somebody's at the door or you hear the phone, you tend to like get up and go. It's just automatic. We want to kind of train ourselves just to wait that few seconds, let that settle. It's usually just a matter of seconds, and then you go, and then you'll be steadier, and it is less likely to give you some unsteadiness moving. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
My dizzy spells usually occur way late at night there when I'm sleeping there, you know, and then I get up to go to the bathroom there, and I have dizzy spells.
Yeah. So if you haven't had that checked out by somebody, then I would recommend you talk to your primary care provider, and they can maybe be able to help figure out where that's coming from, because that could be a lot of different things as well. Because that's particularly at night when you're not, kind of don't have your wits about you as much because you've just woken up from sleeping, right?
Yeah.
And you may not have the best lighting. Of course, you want to have night lights on, but it's definitely a higher risk of having a problem.
Yeah. Heart patients are often recommended to sit on the edge of the bed for a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Before standing. Yeah, and that's part of that. Same reason. And just sitting, moving the feet a little bit, even make sure you're not dizzy, and then stand. Then wait for a minute. Make sure you're not dizzy, and then go. Yeah.
Maybe it gives you a sense of your environment.
Yep.
Like you were saying, if it's dark or you're, just gives you an adjustment time.
Exactly.
Yeah, I could try that.
Exactly.
I could try that.
Yeah. You know, it'd be good.
Just kind of reorient yourself to upright end, like you said, your environment.
Before I go to the bathroom or anything there, I could move my feet back and forth.
Right.
And wait, you know.
Right.
Sit on the edge of the bed, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's good. So vision, we mentioned all the problems that can happen with vision, so it's just important to have your vision checked regularly. Make sure, you know, if there's anything that needs to be done in terms of correction for your vision. Make sure there's night lights so it can help you see better at night. The other thing is, if you have trouble with balance and you wear multifocal lenses, progressives, bifocals, even if you've been wearing them for a long time, if you start to have balance problems or dizziness and you're active in the community, there's some research that says that you might be better off having single focal lenses, so having your distance glasses to get around, and then just getting one of the like readers to use for reading. It's not that anything that anyone has to do if they're wearing progressives, but you know, the reason is if you have to look down like at the curb to feel comfortable seeing to step on, of course, unless you look down, you're going to be looking through your reading lens. So the perception of where the curb is it might be off a little bit. Or progressives kind of get distorted a little bit when you're looking out to the side. Of people who wear progressives, you kind of accommodate to it, so you're used to moving your head. But if you combine it with dizziness or other problems, then that may be where the progressives or the bifocals or trifocals can be a little more problematic. So just something to think about if it seems like it's a problem in terms of the glasses. Yeah, I wear progressives as well, so I totally can relate to that.
Losing glasses. My husband lost so many pairs of glasses. Mm. Yeah. It takes a long time to get used to transitional lenses.
It does. It does. Mm. And that's the downside of two pair of glasses is where are my reading glasses and making sure you have the right glasses on when you're walking outside and not, you know. So there's downsides to having a couple pair, two different pair as well. Yeah. We kind of talked about this, making sure you talk to your medical provider or pharmacist about medications and then your primary care provider about any disease management. Another thing that seems to be important is vitamin D supplementation. Again, please do not start taking anything you're not already taking without consulting your primary care provider. Even vitamins or supplements can have an impact and interact with medications that you're taking. So not everybody should be taking this. You want to make sure you talk to your provider if you're not. But it's definitely something to ask your provider about if you're not taking any vitamin D supplement. Because in addition to building bone strength, vitamin D helps with muscle strength. We need enough vitamin D in our body to help our muscles get stronger.
I'm taking vitamin D 4 times a day.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. 4,000 milligrams total.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, again, that's why it's good to talk with your provider because some different amounts may be recommended for you depending on your other health condition. So, So.
And there is a separate test, blood test, for vitamin D.
There is.
Oh,
there is. There is a specific test.
There is.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I've had that done.
Yeah. You probably, if they have you,
obviously.
Check your level.
I didn't know it was that.
Yep. Some providers just automatically put you on a D level if you don't have any reason not to be on it. Some check the D levels to make sure to see how much you should be on. But yeah, but it, you know, they can just tell from the blood test. Yep. Environment. So, you know, kind of makes sense. This is a picture of a house demo that we have at the state that has. We have a safe side and an unsafe side. This is the unsafe side, so it illustrates things like, you know, loose cords, water on the floor, no railings on the stairs. You know, there's a number of things you can do within your home to make it safer. Another handout you have is this home safety checklist. So what you can do is just take this with you home. And you can just go through your different rooms, and it has some things to check, right? So kitchen, are the drawers and cupboards closed to avoid bumping into them? Is the floor made of slip-resistance material? Do floor mats have slip-resistance backing, et cetera? So just can, you know, some things that could pose risk factors within your home. And you can just do your own home safety assessment. Sometimes walking outside, trekking poles or hiking poles can be helpful. Yeah. And just especially if it's uneven ground, hiking outside or in the winter, you know, just that little extra sensory input, particularly if you have sensory problems in your feet. But even if you don't, right, people who hike, they go to EMS or LL Bean, any of these places that sell hiking equipment, you're going to see a lot of these just because they give you that extra stability with walking. So
I just take really one all the time to make sure.
Yeah.
And also it's a deterrent to dogs because I'm basically afraid of dogs.
Oh, okay. Again, you can find these at, you know, Kmart or Walmart. Mm-hmm. You can find them at sporting goods stores. There's a range of prices. They can be really super, super fancy for, you know, hikers that want to collapse them and have some, you know, spring to them and whatnot. But so they're nice because most of them have a rubber tip, so you can use them inside if you want to, but then you can take that off and have a pointy tip so it can dig in if you need it, like in snow and ice, or well, ice so much you don't want to be walking on ice, but snow or out, you know, outside.
It's helpful to buy a pair that can collapse.
Yeah.
Mm. So if you travel, you can take them with you.
Yeah.
I've got a really nice pair that was a gift, but they won't compress, so I can't get them in a suitcase.
Yeah.
So I want to go to this next idea of collapsing.
The collapsing, yeah. It is very convenient to have the collapsible.
Then you don't need a cane. You can use it instead.
Yeah, exactly. And you hold them. You just want to make sure the height is up so that it's about at a 90-degree elbow hold, so that when you're walking, you walk with them like this, which is a little different than a cane. The cane handle should be about at your hip level so that your elbow's not quite bent as much. But yeah, they can be, and it's just, you know, we talk about sensory input, just like you say, just the one pole even, just that little, because your brain is getting another sensory feedback. So you've got your 2 feet plus some sensory information coming in from your hand through the pole. So it's like a three points of feedback coming into where you are with your balance. So it actually provides a lot more stability just having a light touch of a hiking pole.
And walking sticks in the spring and summer. It's great, a walking stick. Mm-hmm. Does the basically the same thing.
Same thing, exactly.
On hills.
Uh-huh.
It's helpful.
Yes. Yeah,
hills. Coming down.
It's much harder to come down a hill. It takes a lot more strength coming down a hill than going up a hill.
It's ruined.
I have a funny question.
Yeah.
I noticed that outside many homes that they have stairs going up, but no railing. Yeah. What does one do? Because I found myself in that position.
Yeah.
And I going up is okay, but I'd rather not. Going down is
upside.
It's very dangerous to do stairs if it's open on both sides and there's no railing.
I'm nervous anyway, at least where I live. It's common.
Yeah, I mean, certainly for yourselves, you want to make sure you have railings, right? So that's
But if you don't, what do you do? Sit down? I don't know.
Well, you can do a couple of things. If you have to get in and you're all by yourself, I mean, obviously it's helpful if somebody's with you, you can just hang on.
Oh, yeah, that's
right.
That's not a problem.
If you have a walking stick or a cane, you can use that as well.
Well, I wouldn't even trust that. I think on stairs.
The other thing is if you can do one step at a time. So if you have a leg that's a stronger leg going up, you would step up with that leg and then bring the other leg to
up. I'm talking about down.
And then down, you would step down with a weaker leg if you have a weaker leg.
Guess what? I'm really scared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stairs, I would just
sit down maybe.
You could. You just have to be able to get up. Get up once you're at the top. Some people do skip bottom.
Again, you want me to go up. I don't have trouble going up. It's coming down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I honestly think the best thing would be to get help. I mean, you probably wouldn't be going there by your. There would still be somebody in the house, right, for when you leave.
Maybe I've tried to do it, getting signatures on a petition. That's why I'm particularly aware of it.
Oh, at night. Certainly in a public place.
No, but I was amazed at how many houses in my neighborhood.
Yeah. Certainly, public places. I think have to have railings. You know,
if they're
public
houses.
Yeah.
Even one of my neighbors.
Yeah. It's easy to say, but the best thing is not to try to do it.
I think you have to make a deliberate decision not to do it.
Yeah, I agree.
If you really are apprehensive and you're about to fall, I just think you have to say, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. I have a neighbor who has a very difficult stairway.
Yeah.
They're very good friends, and Catherine's a great cook.
Yeah.
But the stair is one that I can't manage.
Exactly.
And I had to say, sorry, I can't come here anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's about, you really have to say, if you're that challenged, you must just on.
My wife there, she fell several times on my stairs there because it was unsafe there, you know. But then finally, they got him put in, but it was too late. My wife was already gone there. Mm. But they put me up all new stairs and and a new deck and everything there. But I'm finding these stairs more easier to walk down than I did with my other old ones.
Well, that's good. Mm.
That's good.
She lived, talked to whoever owns the place write a letter to them. Would they consider?
And they don't.
Well, you're talking about just visiting a friend's house. You're not talking about a public house.
Yeah, I'm talking just in my ordinary little.
No, I think you're absolutely right.
I just found it. I was surprised how when I found it. Then I discovered that almost every other house in around.
I mean, that's obviously up to the individual homeowner.
I thought, well, they all have young children and they're young themselves, so they have no idea.
Maybe you can start educating
people. And I never thought of it either until I got old.
All right, let's move along a bit. So I want to talk about exercise, right? So we know, like we talked about, we need to do strengthening and balance exercise, right, in order to improve our balance. We know that through research it takes about 50 hours of exercise for balance to improve your balance enough to decrease your falls risk.
That's interesting.
Right?
50 a week.
50 hours total, cumulative dose.
Wow.
So
it's a long.
It's a lot, right? So what we want to think about, so people, you can start to improve your balance before the 50 hours is up, but statistically, so what that means is if you think about it, that's something like twice a week for 6 months, right? So it means it's a lifestyle, right? It means it's something we just need to do, continue to do, right? So it's not a 6 weeks, fix the problem, done.
Right.
Okay. We can talk about that. We'll talk about that. Though. There's lots of options. So strengthening recommendations 2 to 3 times a week. If you think about the most intense you can be working your muscles is a 10 out of 10. You want to think about a rating of about between 5 and 8 out of 10. So a way to think about it is if you're doing 10 repetitions of a strengthening exercise, you should feel that by the 8th repetition, you should start to get a little fatigue in those muscles. And then you know you are strengthening. So for example, if I just did this 10 times, this is pretty easy for these muscles because these muscles are stronger. I would need to hold weights in order to do anything. So if I do these 10 times, it feels like, boom, done it, you know. But I don't feel anything, I didn't strengthen those muscles. But if I was holding 10-pound weights and I did 10 times, probably by the 8th time, I'd be like, okay, I'm getting some, my muscles are getting tired here, then I would know I'm getting some strengthening effect. So that's the way to kind of gauge your exercise when you're trying to strengthen. Okay? So let's just take a couple of minutes to do a couple of strengthening exercises, okay? So we can get up from the chairs and move a little bit so you can get the feel of it. Now, on this is just a sample of a couple of exercises that can be done. Of course, these are not a whole complete exercise program, but these are a way you could do an exercise. We'll just maybe do one of them that you can strengthen muscles without using any equipment. We're just using gravity, right? So the first one here is the chair rise. So only do this if you feel comfortable, okay? I don't want anybody to hurt their knees or I don't want everybody to be safe. But let's just push back your chair a little bit away from the table so you have room to stand. And then I want you to scoot halfway forward to the front of the chair so that you're almost like you're, you know, just in standing ready position. Maybe want to have you take your cane to the side. I just won't want you to fall onto it or get that tangled in your legs, please. I just don't want you to get tripped on it. Thanks. So feet flat on the floor. Okay. And I want everybody just to try from this position to stand up. So just make sure you're where you can stand up. If you need a little boost from the chair, you can give yourself a little boost from the chair. Okay. And then let's sit down. It's nice and slow. I want everybody to try to keep your knees over your toes when you do this so your knees don't collapse in. We want to make sure our knees are in good alignment.
if you are able to stand with your arms crossed, that's going to be even harder. So let's just do a few of these together. Just do them at your own pace, own level. If you need to do it with a little boost with your hand, do it with a little boost from your hand. If you need to do it with your arms at your side, that's fine. If you think you can do it with your arms crossed, let's try that. The important thing is you do it slow and controlled. So let's just do a few of these, however you're able to do them.
Mm-hmm. I can't do that one.
That's okay. Do a push from the chair then. Do a push from the chair. There you go. Yeah? So whatever you can do, let's just do a few of these. But stop if you're having any pain. And I want you to tell me where you're feeling the muscles work, or if you're feeling like your muscles are doing some work. Yeah, thighs. Anybody else feeling their thigh muscles working yet?
Upper thigh.
This is the main an exercise for upper thigh muscles. So you can see it, and we're going. She's like, oh, I thought we were done. Then we can be done. So, right?
10 times? Or what, how many
so you could do 10 times.
How many times?
You could do
I don't have a chair like this.
So, right, so you would want to do that in a sturdy chair, of course, no wheels. One that's not going to scoot away from behind you.
Right. I tried doing this one at home. No.
Yeah.
I got a chair at home. I do that every day, you know. That's part of my exercise, you know.
Yeah.
But I do it very slow.
Slow and controlled, right.
My left knee is pain. Right. I stop it once my left knee pains a lot, you know.
Yeah, you definitely want to do slow and controlled, no pain, so you want to stop if you're having pain. The other thing about pain is if you have arthritis pain, if we strengthen joints, strengthen muscles around arthritic joints, that can decrease the pain from arthritis. So we just have to do it slow and gradual, not push into pain, but it can overall decrease your pain once you build up strength in the muscles around the joint. So that's just an example, okay? So you kind of get an idea. Balance exercises, those you can do every day. So the strengthening exercises 2 to 3 times a week, because
there was some other ones there.
Yeah. I think what we're going to do though is just
I'm down here.
Yeah. So I think the strengthening exercises, we want to let you have a rest day in between. So for example, if you did all your leg strengthening on Monday, Tuesday, skip the leg strengthening, do it again on Wednesday. So you want a recovery day for strengthening. But balance exercises, you could do them every day. You don't have to, and walking you could do every day. You don't have to have a recovery day. So basically, strengthening, you want a recovery day in between. Okay? So just like we need to have our strengthening exercises progressive, we need to have our balance exercises challenging as well. And so there's, again, this is listed, these are some ideas, these are listed on your sheet on how you can challenge your balance. Let's just have everybody stand for just a minute. So again, I want everybody to be safe, so have the table right in front of you. I want you to just get a sense of this. So if you're standing, right, you have a certain amount of stability. Let's stand now with your feet together. Hold on to the table as you need to. Now, this may make you feel a little more challenged, right, than when your feet are apart because our base is narrow. Now, be careful with this. Hang on to the table as you need to. We can make this even more challenging by sliding 1 foot ahead a little bit. So now you've got an even narrower base. I just thought somebody said, right? So this is like, so the narrower your base, the more challenge it's going to be. So this is one type of balance exercise you can do in standing. Okay? So that's what it says, right. And then you can also challenge it by maybe turning your head left and right a little bit. That adds some vestibular challenge, you know how we were talking about that system earlier. So it's a little harder than just looking straight ahead at something. So the big thing about balance exercises, and again, these are all listed for you as ways you can challenge, is that you want to be safe.
So I have in here, so you want to stand in a corner or at a counter for safety. So like in a corner, so your back is to your, the corner here, right? So that you've got something behind you and on the side of you, maybe a chair in front, or at a counter, like a kitchen counter, kitchen sink, so you can hang on if you need to. So you want to make sure you challenge your balance, but in a safe way so that you don't fall working on the balance. Okay?
Standing on a pillow.
Standing on a pillow. Right, so that's a way to challenge, because then you've got an uneven surface,
that's
right?
That's right.
You could do in a narrow hallway, walking with your head turning, you know, left and right. I think you mentioned earlier, you're not sure why you fell walking across the street. I don't know either. We don't know exactly. But sometimes people will fall if they lose the ability to still balance and move looking around. And if it makes you either a little dizzy or unsteady, you're walking to look over, you might do this and end up falling. You don't know why you fell, but it could be that. So one way to work on that is in a hallway at home where it's safe, so you've got something to hang on to if you need to, or between two counters. Make sure you can walk with your head movement in different directions. Okay. Does that make sense? All right. You can sit if you like. Do I want to do? Let's sit for a couple minutes. So basically, we want to make sure that you talk with your primary care provider if you have trouble with balance, again, just to get into appropriate program, whether it's a community-based program or one-on-one PT, depends on a lot of things. You want to make sure that it's addressed. Also, just thinking about what kind of exercise you're going to do. Group is really nice, or exercise in the community. It helps people get engaged. It helps you kind of build relationships with others. You know, it's a fun way to exercise. So, you know, as long as that's something that sounds like it's fun to you, that's great. If you absolutely hate being in a group, I doubt it, or else you probably wouldn't be here today. But, you know, some people just don't like that. Then, you know, that may not be the best plan for you unless you want to get yourself to like it, right? So then maybe think of a plan. You might do like a one-on-one session with somebody and get a home program together. So everybody's got different preferences about how they want to be involved and be active. So you want to make sure it matches what works for you. Matching the time of day. Some people are morning people. Some people are evening people. And if you hate getting up in the morning and you don't want to get up until 11 o'clock, probably don't pick that 8 a.m. class. It's just not going to be pleasant for you, right? But then if the reverse is true, you're up at 5 and, you know, by 4 you're like ready, done in for the day, then maybe try to find those early morning classes and that works better. So it really needs to be what works for you, because you should enjoy it. Like we talked about, it's going to be a life, you know, a lifestyle. It's going to be something you want to continue doing, so you want to be able to enjoy it.
That's a hard one.
You're skeptical. You're skeptical about enjoying it.
So
but that's where it's important to find something that's fun.
Well, riding a horse would be nice.
Oh.
Yeah, it would. Do you ride horses?
Pardon me?
Do you ride horses?
No. But I'm just saying. You know,
it would be fun, yeah.
It would be fun.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, we have a lot of fun. I also teach the Tai Chi Chuan Moving for Better Balance class. I'm one of the instructors for this, and so here. And we have a lot of fun in our class. We really do. So it can be fun just doing an activity like that.
That's a group experience.
Exactly.
I took that class.
Yeah.
Okay. Long ago.
Yeah. Great.
They don't even get around to exercising until the third or fourth meeting.
Mm. Oh, so you took a matter of balance, probably. Mm-hmm. Right. So there's two. So the first one is a matter of balance. A matter of balance is an 8-week class, okay? And they do this here at the Aging Resource Center as well as other places. I'll show you. But it's talking. It's mostly talking. It's 2 hours. And it's, like I said, you're sharing with each other. You're learning about ways, kind of like this, but in more expanded ways to reduce your risk of having a fall, improve your confidence. So it's been shown to decrease fear of falling in research and increase physical activity for people who are really sedentary. And then starting in the third week, you do start doing some exercises, some standing and sitting, strengthening and balance exercises. And that lasts for 8 weeks. This is where in the state, I mentioned there's the state initiative. So this is where in the state it's located. So we have a website that's in the, it's in your paper in the end, nhfalls.org. And you can go to the website as well to see where they are. So in the Upper Valley, all of you are from the Upper Valley, we have these programs here at the Aging Resource Center, CCBA, Eastman, Lyme, in Lyme with Lyme Parish Nurses, and the Upper Valley Aquatic Center. So there's a lot of places, potential
Upper Valley Commissary.
I'm sorry?
Where's the Upper Valley Commissary?
Upper Valley Aquatic Center.
Oh, sorry.
Yep, that's okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, in White River. Yeah. CCBA, if anybody is interested in this program, I do know they are starting a class in April. I think they're the next ones up around in the Upper Valley to do a class.
What is the Lyme Parish Nurses?
Lynn Smith is the nurse who is the master trainer for Matter of Balance, and she does it. I'd have to look exactly. I don't think I can see it from here. It's at a library in Lyme, I think.
Is that the library?
Oh, can I see it on here? I'll say, can I?
Lynn Smith?
Lynn Smith is, why am I not seeing it? Well, Lynn Smith, but we could definitely get that, her contact information to you. And then Tai Chi Chuan, Moving for Better Balance. That's the one that, the other one that we do. So this is a research-based class. It was developed by Fuzhang Li. He's a researcher in Oregon. And this program has been found to reduce falls and fear of falling in people 65 and older by 55%. So it's a huge falls reduction. And people who have Parkinson's disease by 67%. This is a twice a week, this is a twice a week, 1 hour for 6 month class. So this kind of fits that, what we were talking about earlier, that 50 hours of balance class. Again, this is offered throughout the state. In the Upper Valley, we have it at Dartmouth-Hitchcock. We have it at CCBA in Lebanon, Hanover Senior Center, Mascoma Senior Center in Canaan, that's probably the closest one for Grafton, and Kearsarge Council on Aging in New London, and in White River at the Upper Valley Aquatic Center. And there's a variety of cost for this one. So you'd have to see exactly the cost. I know at Dartmouth-Hitchcock, it's $200 for 24 weeks. So we go $100 every 12 weeks. CCBA is a little bit less than that, and Upper Valley Aquatic Center is around in that range. But all the programs that charge, you should talk with them, because most programs would offer a scholarship if need be for as far as the cost. So definitely.
About that last one, the balance one there, you know, just before that.
Usually there's no cost to that. Usually.
Oh, there's no cost to that?
Usually.
That's the one I would like.
Some places do charge for that, yeah, but usually.
I would like the one for, you know.
But keep in mind, it's good, it serves its purpose. But what we want to do is exercise. So a lot of people will take that first, but then you need to get into the Tai Chi exercise to actually make a difference in your falls.
Well, they're really interesting.
I'm just making you socialize.
Oh,
Tai Chi. Right. We're almost ready to start.
Oh, wonderful.
We're running a little later.
Gosh, did I miss it?
No, we're running a little later because we started later, so we're almost done here, though.
Terrific. So
just
call me in and I'll come back.
Perfect.
Thank you.
So some of these places like Hanover Senior Center, Mascoma Senior Center, and the Kearsarge Council on Aging do not charge for this program.
Which ones? This one?
The Tai Chi program, Tai Chi Chuan Moving for Better Balance. They do not charge.
Which ones?
Hanover Senior Center, Mascoma Senior Center.
I wonder why Lebanon doesn't do it.
It just...
it's on your paper.
Yeah.
Where?
The little map.
Yeah. Lebanon's not included,
page nine.
Huh?
Page nine.
It's not at the Lebanon Senior Center.
Yeah.
No. Well, it was just we ended up working with CCBA to get sort of downtown Lebanon area.
Yeah, I go to CCBA.
Yeah. Joanna Graver's the teacher there. Do you know her?
I haven't taken any of the exercise programs. Okay. I just go in for swimming.
Yeah. But they'll be starting, CCBA will be starting in September with this program.
Oh, September?
I just want to be clear, this is for balance, not for strength.
Both, strength and balance.
Yeah.
Strength and balance. So it increases strength, increases balance. Yep.
Yes. Anniversary.
Yeah, and because it's a program that's it incorporates Tai Chi with what we know about motor control for balance. So he combines Tai Chi. So it's not only traditional Tai Chi. It's combines Tai Chi with strengthening and balance exercises.
So you wouldn't have to do these other strengthening.
Which one combines Tai Chi with strengthening? Which one?
Tai Chi Chuan, moving for better balance. Right, so it's Tai Chi Chuan, moving for better balance, that specific program.
Do we have a printout of that? I didn't get it.
It's in your, it's not a separate sheet, but you do have this separate sheet. So that map is not on a separate sheet, but this sheet tells about the programs, yeah.
But it doesn't give the places.
The places are in your other, in this handout. Yeah.
Page 9.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, and then this.
Questions about questions about the Tai Chi Chuan moving for better balance. Let me just demo a quick demo because I want to make sure we get the screens in. So let me just show you what something would look like. So we do a lot of kind of weight shifting. We do a sit to stand exercise like we were just doing. We do it in a certain way. We do some movements like you might think about, you know, like Tai Chi might look like this.
Yeah.
But the thing that we add with this is we add some forceful movements that also work on your balance. So there's a movement called Parting Wild Horses Mane where we start with holding a ball, we kind of wind up, and then we take a quick step. And then we go, right? And then this works our quads. Now we're sinking into our quads. And then we give ourselves a push that works our calf and our balance. And we come back. And then we go. And we give ourselves a little push.
You would have people that fall down.
No, nobody falls down. We do this with. We do this. No. Because we know what we do it.
Yeah.
Everybody has a chair in front of them. And what I just showed you, that's what we start in the third week. So we gradually work up, we gradually add the challenge, and we have everybody with a chair in front of us, in front of them. So that some people when they're doing this have to hold on and do this, which is fine. So we modify it however people need to so that we are super, super conscious of safety, right? So we have people, we always have chairs in front. People using chairs as they need to. And like I say, it's gradually adds on challenge over time. So as you build strength and balance, you get more challenge in the program. It's a lot of fun. We know it works,
Is the strengthening part of all the muscle groups or the basic muscle groups?
Yeah, so in general, we want to work for balance with strengthening. It's the large muscle groups in multiple areas. So we want to work the hips, do a lot of hip and trunk work because that's what we need for stability, as well as, quad work. It does a little bit with the arms, but it doesn't do arm strengthening. Like if you wanted to work on weights with the arms, you'd want to do something additional. But in terms of balance, it works the core strengthening and leg strengthening. Yep. Yeah.
What about the chair yoga? I was just on the phone with my cousin, and she's doing it once a week.
Right.
I mean, is it good or?
So it's not. So what it will do is it will help. It may help build some strength and flexibility.
Yeah.
But it's not going to improve balance.
Oh, okay.
If you're only doing seated. Now, sometimes some chair yoga includes some exercise around a chair, like standing around a chair.
Around a chair. There's nothing on the floor. You do not go to the floor and have to get back up. Yeah. So,
the biggest thing.
Just the chair, bending and balance. I don't know, probably putting your leg up or,
Yeah. The biggest thing about balance is in order to improve standing and walking balance, you need to be on your feet.
Yeah.
And on land.
And right.
So that's the biggest thing to remember about it. Yeah.
So you could work on strengthening in the pool with swimming.
Yeah, that's
but your
right.
balance is going to be on land, right? And you can do some flexibility in the leg, and stuff, but your standing balance is standing.
That's right.
Yeah.
I tend to do side stroke in a little bit of each, and then I might jump around. And
which is great.
You know, because the aquatic fitness thing would do that, I think.
Super exercise.
Jump and,
Yes, great exercise. Yes, totally agree with you. All right, and those are the resources. These, again, these are in your handouts with our Dartmouth Center, the New Hampshire Task Force, the Aging Resource Center, and then some national resources as well, including the websites to those two programs.
And that is it.
Other questions? You guys have been amazing. You guys have such great questions and input. And this has been very helpful.
Yeah, it is.
In other words, you would have to take the Tai Chi one in order to take that other one?
No, you don't have to take
that. That two-hour session is the one I'm referring to.
Yeah, you can take that. They're standalone. You don't have to take them together. You can take both, or you can take one or the other. So it's not required.
I'd rather have the two-hour session than one.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. You can, that's fine. You don't have to do.
I think you should consider the business of having it over 65 for the aging population. Mm-hmm. I think that that's too broad a group of people. I think it's very different than 65 and 80.
And 80,
you're not talking to the same people at all.
Yeah,
and this 65 or over sort of startles me because it seems you've lumped a great lock of people together that don't really belong together.
Well, but it's really variable too. It's somewhat variable. I mean, I totally agree with you. Once physiologically our bodies are much different at 80 or 85 than 65. Mm. But there are some 65-year-old people or younger who have some pretty significant balance issues because of other conditions they have, whether it's Parkinson's disease or,
whatever. If it's Parkinson's, you're not really working 65 over with Parkinson's in the first place, are you? Parkinson's state is itself, it has its standalone, doesn't it?
So
Parkinson's, I just can't imagine that Parkinson's would have to have its own individual areas.
Yeah, I agree. I just read Kingsley's book, Michael Kingsley.
Uh-huh.
Did you read it? It's short and easy reading.
I'm not sure I understand your point, but just that I just mean that like somebody who is younger may have balance difficulty, so it's not necessarily an age related thing for how this can be important to work on these things, but you're right, and in the literature there's definitely some 65 to 80 and the 79 and then 80 in older literature as well, but in the classes all ages together are great. I mean, our Tai Chi class, we have people that are in their 50s because they have balance problems for other reasons, and we have people that are 90, it's helpful for everybody. Yeah. But it is different. Physiologically, there are a big difference. You're right.
Yeah, well, I think we know.
Yeah.
We live it. I mean, we're there.
I would just like to be 65 again.
But the good news is, right, so even at whatever age, 80 or 85 or whatever, you can still strengthen those muscles, right? You can still get more active and healthy. We're never going to reverse that age clock, but we can improve our mobility and our abilities. So, yeah.
When is the next class scheduled?
Yeah, when is for here? When is the...
For the Tai Chi?
Yeah.
The next class for here is starting May, the first Wednesday in May. The first Wednesday of May. Yeah.
And Tai Chi
here? It's held at the hospital. So it's through here, but the actual class is held at the main hospital on the fifth floor. There's an exercise space on the fifth floor by the parking garage elevators. Mm. So that's where the class itself is held.
It's a Wednesday?
Wednesday, yep. It's Wednesday and Friday from 9:45 to 10:45.
How about that two-hour class? When did they have that?
I will have to get back to you on that. I think we're not at having that until, it may not be until the fall here, but I know the CCB is having that in April. I think it's April 19th. Mm-hmm. So that would be the next one close to here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you ain't starting that until the fall?
Yeah, I think that's, I think we can wrap it up. So, Ray, I think we can wrap it up here. We're going to do some screens, but I think we're good. Thank you. All right. So let me grab Lori.